Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 this morning. We're going to look at the whole chapter. And I want you to follow along with me if you would, starting right at verse number 1. And then we'll have a word of prayer and some special music. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Father, I do thank you this morning now for your word. It's powerful. And I know that you want to speak to us through your word this morning, and may for a little while we just set aside the distractions and the thoughts of the day and just really listen attentively to what you have for us as we look at this, what I call a model church to follow. Yes, a young church, but it was so vibrant. It was so full of Jesus. It looked forward to the coming of Jesus. And may we be a church to be obedient, follow in their footsteps. And so speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient to your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
They fall upon the ground. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days he breathed again and rose to stand.
Praise the Lord this morning that Jesus is alive, amen? And we have a risen Savior, and so thankful for that song that the grave could not hide the blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 this morning. We can play it safe as a church and just cruise along in life, or we can seize the day and be the courageous church that God has designed us to be. Someone has said that a ship in a harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were built for. And a church, if it's not careful, can find its place in a safe zone. They don't risk anything. They really don't stretch themselves in the area of faith living. Because it's just comfortable, it's easy to say we're just a small church and we don't really want to branch out too much. I'm not saying that you're saying that, but the mentality can become that way, and it's just easy to say, let's just stay, if you would, docked in the harbor. But just as a ship was not built to just stay docked in the harbor, likewise, the church is to be one that is advancing its faith, growing in its faith. It is to be a very courageous church. I'm reminded of a story about a ship that was wrecked at sea, and the crew made their escape in their lifeboats. As the small boats sailed toward safety, two sailors suddenly huddled together in terse conversation. Without delay, they both suddenly sprang overboard and swam back to the sinking ship. They reappeared a moment later, and one of them carrying a small object in his hands. At great risk, they had jumped back into the sea for the sinking ship and swam back to the lifeboats, which by this time had sailed a considerable distance away from the capsized vessel. The other rescued crew members wondered what could have compelled their crewmates to make such a treacherous journey. When their companions finally made it back to the lifeboats, the object which was prompted their trip was revealed. In their hands was a compass. They realized they needed the compass as they move forward in these lifeboats so they would know what direction to go. When I read that, I thought about how that the world that we are living in has lost its compass. I don't have to really go into that with you. I think if you stay in tune at all with what is going on in the world, what's going on in our country, you would have to agree that the world has lost its compass. But along with that, so have many churches, where the churches have lost, if you would, and moved away from the compass. They have turned to many other things and have, if you would, minimized the Word of God. But the apostles of old in the book of Acts said, we will give ourselves continually to the ministry of the Word and prayer, because they realize the importance of maximizing the Word of God in the church. They realize that was their compass. And we find here in this passage of Scripture, a church that I would say, I've heard some pastors talk about another church in our country that it's the model church for the 21st century. Well, I would like to go back even further than that and go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, because here is a church, the more I read this book, that I say to myself, here is a church that I would like us to model ourselves after. It was a church that was a courageous church. Notice with me some things by way of introduction about, one, the city of Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a commercial center. It was located in Asia Minor. It was located at the very center point of the Thermaic Gulf, which gave it a strategic port. It had running right through the middle of it the main highway, east and west, known as the Ignatian Highway, which was the main trade route. So it was at the crossroads. Within the city, it had multi-languages, multi-groups of people populating it, though Greek was the dominant language at that time. It was founded in about 316 AD, which put it, this is important, 350 years before Paul came there. This city at that time was known for its crime. Crime was rampant throughout the city of Thessalonica. Immorality was rampant. Prostitution was highly organized. In fact, history records that obscene pictures were painted all over the walls of the building and outside of the houses all over the city. They didn't even know at that time how to abort babies. And so what they would do to get rid of the babies they did not want, particularly baby girls, they would put them out and spread them out over the city, and hopefully that somebody else would pick them up. That's how they would do it at that time. At that time also in Thessalonica, murder was commonplace, and divorce was frequent in the city of Thessalonica. Now I've shared that with you to tell you that in the midst of that time, in which it was a rough time, even though economically it was a good time, but morally it was not good. Everything that I've just shared with you, history records. And so in the midst of this, we find in Acts 17 that Paul goes to Thessalonica. He and Silas go to Thessalonica. They're not there very long. In fact, the Bible says they're only there 3 Sabbath days. But Paul goes to the synagogue, he teaches and preaches the word of God, and as he does, there are many that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Then Paul has to leave the scene, and I'm sure, if you would, that greatly disturbed him, because as a church planner at heart, Paul was, you don't want to just start a church and leave it quickly. You want to try to remain with it and help it get on its feet and so forth. But what 1 and 2 Thessalonians reveal to us is that this church did make it. It did survive, even though it was a baby church. But it was a church that was a courageous church. And I want you to notice with me this morning 3 areas that they were courageous in. First of all, they were courageous to live out their faith. Look at verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. I mean, this is a young church, it is a vibrant church, but now it is the epicenter, if you would, of advancing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that wherever these people went, they spoke about Jesus. Wherever they were going, they talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, we had a man by the name of Paul show us the gospel and how we came to believe, and we want your speaking of Jesus. Know how you too can be saved. Everywhere they were going, they were speaking of Jesus. In fact, someone has said that we speak boldly about what we believe deeply. And that's a good statement. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply, and they believe deeply in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if you would, you couldn't shut their mouth. They were just spreading it everywhere. They were telling anybody and anybody that would listen of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was this air of excitement in this young church about the person of Jesus, about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we find in this context that Paul says, we don't need to speak anything because you guys have done such a fabulous job in advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the 1964 Cotton Bowl between Alabama and Tulane or Rice University, there was a player by the name of Tommy Lewis who found himself in the awkward position, to say the least. In the first half, he watched from the sidelines as the Rice fullback, Dick Meagle, carried the ball down the field for a sure touchdown. As Meagle ran right in front of the Alabama bench, Tommy Lewis, overcome with excitement, dashed out onto the field and made the surprise tackle and then ran to find a place to hide. The next week, he was interviewed by a man by the name of Ed Sullivan, who asked this young football player, "Tommy, why did you do that?" To which he said, "I guess, Ed, I just got so full of Alabama that I couldn't help myself." And as I think about that, I think about this, that our church family ought to get so full of Jesus, we just can't help ourselves. We just can't help but talk about it. We just can't help talk about Jesus at work. And as we go to the stores and frequent the stores and wherever we go, we're just talking about Jesus. We are just so full of Jesus. There is this excitement. Do you know in the month of December, we saw 5 people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? To God be the glory for that. But that's what we want to see more and more of. I know there are times to sow, there's a time to reap. I get that. But may I say that this was a young church that was just everywhere speaking about Jesus. And church, you've heard me say it a lot last year, but I'll say it one more time. This country doesn't need more politics. This country needs Jesus. This country needs the gospel of Jesus Christ, because at the end of the day, it's not going to be politicians that save us. It is going to be the Lord. And here was a church that firmly got this in the fiber of their being, and they just got so full of Jesus that everywhere they go, they just spoke about him. Now, as I think about that, look at verse 5. In verse 5, Paul talks about them being receivers of the gospel. For he says, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." In other words, we just weren't speaking to you man's words. We were speaking to you the gospel of Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gave you the assurance of salvation. He says, you were receivers, which enabled you, in verse number 8, to be transmitters. Wherever you are going, you are speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, may I say that this year we ought to be a church that is courageous to live out our faith. Now, I know there is such a tendency for us to have a mindset, well, I'll just live Jesus in front of the unsaved, and they'll come to know Jesus as Savior. Well, I'm not downplaying living Jesus, because truthfully, if you don't live Jesus, you don't have a message. The two work together. But may I say, the Bible says in Romans, how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm that preacher. You're that preacher. And the church of Thessalonica, if you would, they were those preachers, and they were, if you would, transmitting the gospel. Yes, they were living Jesus, but they were also just telling others wherever they went. They were unashamed to live out their faith. And may Calvary Baptist Church of Gaines, if you would, be the epicenter of which the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be great to have the reputation here in the Gaines Township? Hey, if you want to know about Jesus, go to Calvary. Amen? That would be a great reputation for this church to have. That we are unashamed, and then there is a spirit of excitement. hey, do you know Jesus? Hey, do you know Jesus? And sharing with others of the gospel. They were courageous to live it out. But notice secondly, they were courageous to serve their Lord. Notice how they did this. Look at verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. They were serving the Lord from a heart of love. We could make a point for it's just our duty to come to church. When the doors are open, we're here. But may I say that there is a higher law. It's called the higher law of love. I'm here today because I love the Lord. The Bible says this, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, with all thy might. We are to love Him. We are to be all in that love relationship with the Lord. And Paul noted their labor of love, which again would go over to loving others, but they had a love for the Lord. They had a heart of love for the Lord. And so we notice that they were doing this in a time of affliction. Notice now verse number 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. You see, church, God never designed that when we become Christians, that it's just going to be easy street. That it's just going to be easy life. They received the word in much affliction, in much difficulty, and they were serving the Lord in spite of those difficulties. I love, as you know, Brother John Ashley, one of my dear friends, and I love the title of his ministry, In Spite of Ministries. And you recall what they have gone through in their life over the years and the difficulties and so forth. But they still have managed to go on and serve the Lord in spite of the difficulties. This church was doing the same thing. They were serving the Lord in spite of the difficulties. But then they were also serving the Lord regardless of the cost. Look now, if you would, at verse number 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You remember at the outset of this message, I share with you the history and how immoral the city was. They were also given over to idolatry. And to turn from that would be like a huge thing for many of them. And they turned from those idols to serve the living God. They said, we're going to serve God regardless of the cost. You see, this church was courageous to serve the Lord. And we ought to be a people that is willing to serve the Lord regardless of what the cost may be. They were in their day. People before them were willing. People after them were willing. And people in our day, I could bring up some countries in which truly they have to count the cost. Even to be saved, if I get saved and I leave this Muslim religion that I have been brought up in all of my life, what will happen? For many of them, they will be shunned. For many of them, they will be cast out of the family. I mean, it's a big deal. Likewise here in this context, Paul says, if you're going to serve the Lord as these people did, you've got to serve the Lord regardless of what it costs. They were courageous to serve the Lord. Church, in this year, by the way, this message will dovetail with the new theme I'll introduce to you in 2 weeks. But this year, we're going to have to be prepared and armed and ready to serve the Lord with courage. Our country is in dire need of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but there will come great resistance to this. And it is already happening, church, that we can be looked upon as the minority. We can be looked upon as the ones that are in the way. But remember, We know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We are on the victorious side, and when we are, then we just go ahead and serve the Lord regardless of what it may cost. They were courageous to serve the Lord. This year, be courageous to live out your faith. Be courageous this year, to serve the Lord through the realm of this local church, coming alongside you, helping you understand what your spiritual gifts are and using your gifts and your talents, using that to edify and build up this local church. Because God hasn't designed, if you would, the church to sit at the dock. He's designed the church to move out, to advance, to go forward, to be courageous and serve the Lord. But notice thirdly, this was a church that was courageous to look for the coming of Jesus. Look now again at verse number 3. He says, "And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." And verse 10, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us, praise God, from the wrath to come." Amen. He's already promised us that He's delivered us from the wrath to come. This letter here, as you know, as you read it, 2 Thessalonians, same way, each chapter ends with a reference to the coming of Jesus, because there was some misunderstandings about that. Some had believed that Jesus Christ had already come, and that they, because of the affliction they were going through, they were in the tribulation. Paul says, oh no, this may be difficult, but there is a great wrath that is going to come. There is a wrath from 7 years that will come upon the earth. And he says, God has promised us that He's delivered us from the wrath to come. They believed the promise of His coming. They believed it. Little misunderstanding along the way, but they believed that Jesus Christ was coming. And with that, in chapter 5, I want you to go there. Their belief then influenced their behavior. Because start with me now at verse number 1. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, you're not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." So they behave wisely in light of His coming. And what did it cause them to do? One, it caused them to let their light shine. He says, you are children of the light. You're not of the night. You are not of the darkness. You are children of light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, Jesus taught us. And so here in this context, they were allowing their light to shine, that you're not of darkness. You are children of light. But then it caused them to be alert. Look at verse 6. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." He says, I want you to stay alert. Look at the next verse. "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day," that's children of light, "be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." They were to behave wisely in light of the coming of Christ, and part of that behavior was to stay alert, to stay awake. Jesus taught, when He taught about prophecy, He says, watch and be ready. Stay alert. Be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus Christ may come today. I know that is, for many that have been in church, some of us all of our life, that almost sounds cliche-ish, but it's very biblical. Jesus Christ may come at any moment. And that belief will affect our behavior. He will come today. He may come today. He may come this week. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming. And Jesus says, you better be watching, and you better be ready, for in such an hour, I'm going to come. Now, he gave that great promise, if I go, I will come again. And they were to behave themselves wisely in light of his coming. Yes, God hasn't appointed you to wrath, but to obtain salvation, to obtain deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ. But until that happens, you live as children of light. You don't live as children of darkness. Live as children of light. Don't be, if you would, lazy in your Christian life. Don't sleep as do others. Don't be found in a state of stupor, but rather find yourself alert and awake and to the things of God and say, I'm going to move forward in my relationship with God through my local church. I'm going to go forward. And this was a church that was courageous to look for the coming of Jesus. Now, let me say this point. The Bible prophesies in the book of Peter, as we get closer to the coming of Christ, that there will be those, the Bible calls them scoffers, who will say, where is the promise of his coming? You preachers, you Christians have been saying this for years, that Jesus Christ is going to come. All we see is heartache. All we see is hardship. All we see is difficulty. I mean, where is the promise of his coming? And church, we have to be careful. We don't fall into the same kind of mindset. Well, we've been saying this for years. When is he going to come? He's going to come at his timetable. He may come in our lifetime. Wouldn't that be exciting? I mean, to be raptured out of here right now into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that would be an exciting thing. But here is the reality. We don't know when he's coming, but we know he's coming. That will influence how we live. Jesus Christ is going to come. It's going to influence what I watch on television. It's going to influence what I read. It's going to influence who I associate with. It's going to influence every area of my life. Jesus Christ is going to come, and I don't want to be ashamed before him at his coming. I want to have confidence before him at his coming, according to 1 John. And so in order for us to do that, we've got to live courageously. We've got to live out our Christian faith. And Lord willing, when Jesus Christ comes, we will be able to hear, well done, thou good, and what? Faithful servant, a servant of God who just stayed by the stuff, who just kept looking and longing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I realize in this congregation this morning we have several who believe that Jesus is going to come, but here's what I know. We also have different age groups. For instance, I remember when I was TJ's age, and I would say, I agree with you, Pastor, that Jesus is coming, but not right now. I got things I want to do. Come on, you tracking with me? Am I the only one that ever did this? And then I start having a family. Lord, don't come just yet. Although there's some days I wanted him to come, but don't come just yet. I want to see them grow up, walk them down the aisle, see them get married, which is what happened. And then I said, you know, it seemed like about every 10 years, now that I'm 60, now that I'm a little older, a few years removed from TJ's age, I have more of a longing for Jesus to come. I want to see him come. And he is coming. And church, until he does, he wants us to be a courageous church, living out our faith, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be courageous and serve him regardless of the cost. And he wants us to be courageous and look for the coming, his coming, that may be today. Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come? You see, church, I will say this and wrap this up this morning. Nowhere in this precious book does God promise us that the church would not suffer before the tribulation. And the reason I'm saying that is this. We thought 2020 was a hard year. Physically, it was difficult. Emotionally, it was difficult. Spiritually, it was challenging. In so many ways, our country had to deal with so many different kinds of things. And just because it's 2021 doesn't mean that the virus is gone. It doesn't mean that we won't have any more lockdowns throughout our country. We don't know what the new administration is going to bring. I could park on that, but I'll leave that one alone. But I'm serious. There are some things that are very concerning for the church. But here's what I know. God's on the throne. He knows what's going to happen in 2021. And if he wants his church to suffer before his son comes, I believe with all my heart that he will give us the strength to endure. He did for this young church. Jesus didn't come in their day, but Paul was teaching them that he may. He didn't then, but he's going to come. And we need to live out a courageous lifestyle in this day. So I ask you as I close, will you be courageous this year to live out your faith? Live it out. Tell others of Jesus this year. Don't be ashamed. Tell it wherever you go. Yes, there will be people who don't want to listen, don't want to hear. Someone who told Joel this past year, get off my property, don't ever come back. Broke my heart, broke Joel's heart. Because we just simply wanted to see the gentleman saved. But not everybody's going to be. But we're going to go ahead and live it out. We're going to share it with those that listen. Let's be a church that's so full of Jesus that you can't stop it. I mean, everywhere we go, we're just talking about him. Hey, can you think of anything better to talk about? No, not at all. I enjoyed the other night watching Clemson and Ohio State. I really, quite frankly, could care less who won, although I was pulling for Clemson. But if you had been with me that night, and we didn't watch the whole game, but when me and my grandson sit down to watch the remainder of the game, particularly my oldest grandson, man, he was, he was really into it. He really was. And that was, to me, as his pappy, as they call me. That was exciting. It wasn't so much what was happening on the screen. It was what was happening over there on the couch. Hearing him, just like, I don't know how much of it he really understood. Quite a bit. But as I sat there and I listened to that, I thought, Lord, that ties right in to this message. That's something temporary, but we got something better to be super excited about. Amen? I mean, the gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. Will you this year be courageous to live it out? Will you this year be courageous to serve the Lord regardless of the cost? And will you this year be courageous to look for the coming of Jesus and let it affect your behavior? Let's be a courageous church this year. and be true to our compass. Father, I thank you this morning for the power of your word. What a great church to model ourselves after. Oh, to be sure, they needed some help to understand an important doctrine, the coming of Jesus. But yet here was a church that was living out their faith and was serving you and was just anticipating the coming of Jesus. May we model ourselves after this church. May we be a church this year that's just courageous to live out our faith, that will be unashamed to tell others of Jesus, that we will, with all of our heart, love you and serve you the best that we can. And that this year, we will long for the coming of Jesus more than we've ever have before. And that we would be courageous in these days that are challenging days. And we don't know what this year will bring, but help us to be courageous and stay true to our compass, your word. In Jesus' name, now with their heads bowed. In just a moment, we'll stand together and Sherry will begin to play. When she does, I'm going to encourage you to come. For some of you, you need to come and say, Lord, this year I want to be more courageous to live out my faith, which involves speaking about it, telling others about it. Some of you need to come and say, Lord, I want to serve you this year and be courageous to serve you regardless of the cost. Some of you today need to come and say, I need to be more focused on the coming of Jesus and let it affect how I live. Today I'm going to encourage you to step out. Come, just take some time. If you can't kneel, you can just sit here in this front row, but come today. Respond to the working of the Holy Spirit through God's word this morning. Cry out to God for courage to live for him. Father, now we commit the balance of this invitation to you. Help people to be obedient in Jesus' name. Amen.